In the name of the living God who gives light to the world. Amen. Are any of you like me and have recurring dreams? I'll tell you a couple of mine. One I've been having since my teenage years, and I get to high school, and it's the first day of school, and I have no idea how to get to any of my classes, and I actually don't know what my schedule is, and along with that, I don't know the combination to my locker. Over and over and over again. I have had this dream for decades. Another is I'm in the church where I grew up, except now I'm a priest there. They don't even have priests at this church. In the dream, I'm a priest at this church I grew up in. And I'm supposed to be preaching, like right now, and the service has already begun, but I'm stuck in the vesting room and I can't find my vestments. I have the dream over and over and over. I imagine these recurring dreams are a bit like the nightmare faced by the five virgins with no oil for their lamp. There they've been. They've been waiting for Jesus a long time, waiting and waiting and waiting. Or I'm assuming the bridegroom's Jesus. We don't know. It's a parable. And finally, the bridegroom comes up the way, and they realize they have no oil to keep their lamps burning. And they ask the wise virgins with plenty of oil, "Give us some." They say, "Go get some for yourself." And off they go into the darkness, and by the time they arrive back, the door shut. It's too late. And if you're like me, you might be thinking, how this plays out does not sound anything like the rest of the Gospel of Matthew. What makes these five virgins with their burning lamps and their excess oil who refuse to share it so wise? What about the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, "Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you"? Or later in Matthew, where Jesus says, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor." And what about all these past weeks where we've heard over and over again about those in power missing the point, where Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces." This parable doesn't seem to add up. So I had this aha moment in my fifth time preaching this in 15 years. I consider myself a good Protestant Christian raised as an American in our society that rewards those who plan ahead. So I always have focused on the oil in my lamp. Surely, if I have enough faith, if I do enough, if I pray enough, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. And the aha moment was in realizing that it's not about the oil in the lamp. Listen to it again. "But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, there is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' The wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.'" This is not a parable about having oil in your lamp. It's a parable about how we respond to those around us in the face of the bridegroom coming. Just last week, we heard in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, blessed are you when your oil stock is run out. When you're at the end of your rope, Christ intends the kingdom of heaven for you. And the question is, do you trust that? Do you trust that not only are you accepted, you are enough, but you are beloved, you are blessed? It's not that the foolish bridesmaids didn't have oil in their lamps. is that they were listening to and trusting the wrong voices. It's not those wise slash shrewd virgins' fault either. They were simply keeping their eyes on the prize. Imagine, the bridegroom's finally coming. My guess is they assumed what the foolish virgins, that the foolish virgins knew what they already knew. The light of Christ is enough to shine the way. The light of the bridegroom's enough to shine the way. And this Christ had assured in so many teachings, you are the light of the world. You, not your lamp. The lamps are superfluous. And those loud and oil-depleted virgins were missing the point. You want oil? Okay, go out and get some. Regardless, the bridegroom is coming. In our culture, it's easy for us to become fixated on the lamps and the oil. We even have songs about this. To listen to the voices that tell us, you're not enough. And then to be so ashamed at believing we're not enough that we turn our eyes from down the road where the bridegroom's coming to meet us to becoming consumed with trying to fix ourselves or fix what's around us. So much so that we miss the wedding banquet. This parable's maddening, don't get me wrong. I hate that the foolish bridesmaids don't gain entrance to the wedding. And I wonder, why would the bridegroom leave these five women out in the cold? But perhaps there is some gospel truth here. I think the point Jesus might be trying to make is that sometimes doors close. Whether we like it or not, windows close, chances fade, time runs out. We know this. We experience it. Someone we loved and we disagreed with and we never reconciled with dies. The debt goes into default. The habit turns into a fatal diagnosis. The job opportunity closes forever. Maybe even the church doors close. The opportunity in this moment ends. And it's so easy for us to just say, well, there's always tomorrow. I'll get to it then. Whatever it is, there's another chance. But what if there isn't? As Debbie Thomas implores, what if this parable is telling us to be alert now? Awake now, active now. What if it's inviting us to live as if each day, singular and fleeting, is all that we have? Tomorrow, if it comes, will be its own gift. Don't presume that it belongs to you. Do what is holy and necessary now. What if it all comes down to not having enough oil in our tanks, but to listening to the right voice? Don't listen to the other virgins who seem so much more prepared. They may be wise, but we're always going to hear what they say as thinking we're not enough. What if it comes down to being willing to wait and stay and stick around instead of turning and walking away in search of something superfluous and not actually necessary? What if the moral of this parable is don't leave the gate? I want you to imagine yourself at your most foolish, most scatterbrained, your most embarrassing. And then hear that you're still enough. Then you're still beloved. Your lamps and your oil and all that you carry, those are not the source of your wisdom. It's not how much you're able to offer or how brightly you shine or the amount you're able to pledge or not to pledge to the church. It's your willingness to show up and to be yourself and to give the best you can. Your willingness to wait even when the wait seems long. And to stick around and not leave right as the bridegroom's coming down the aisle. All you have to do is stick around. What if we've been shutting the door to the kingdom of God in our own faces? Last week I talked about the monk Thomas Merton. I want to circle back to him again, imagining ourselves at our howling and scatterbrained worst, trusting that we still know how to dance. Here's a poem he wrote, reimagining the parable of the virgins. It's from Merton's collected poems. There were five howling, or scatterbrained, virgins who came to the wedding of the Lamb. With their disabled motorcycles and their oil tanks empty. But since they knew how to dance, a person says to them to stay anyhow. There you have it. There were five noisy virgins without gas, but looking good in the traffic of the dance, but well involved in the action of the dance. Consequently, there were 10 virgins at the wedding of the Lamb. May we all stick around, prepared or unprepared, and partake of the feast. Amen. Thank you.